How do I join the Illuminate?
We Illuminate confirm you.
Hi, everyone. This is Isaac from IlluminatiWatcher.com. You are listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. This is going to be a very interesting show. I've got a guest on today. His name is Jay Dyer. I am confident many of you are already familiar with him and his works. He is the man behind jaysanalysis.com, author of Esoteric Hollywood, host of the show on Gaia called Hollywood Decoded with the great Jay Widener, and many more projects that we get into. We also talk about his upcoming book, Esoteric Hollywood 2. I'd also like to quick mention that I will be giving away a signed copy of his book, Esoteric Hollywood. I made an arrangement with Mr. Jay Dyer, and I will be giving that away. The contest will be, again, for all of those on the Patreon list, you're already in. I will pick one winner at random out of that. I've got a book giveaway for William Ramsey's Prophet of Evil on April 1st. That is not an April Fool's joke. So I'll probably do Jay's on like May 1st. No, I'm going to probably, I will do it on May 1st. Let's make that official. Esoteric Hollywood, one signed copy. I will pay the shipping and everything. All you got to do is be a Patreon supporter. Go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. And you can check it out. If you become a tier one supporter, you will get a free copy of my latest effort, The Dark Path. You will get it on ebook. And you also get bonus content for the podcasts. I upload episodes early, so you get early access. This particular episode does not have the bonus content because we did it in an interesting way where we did a live stream on Jay's feed as well. So I didn't think it was fair to, you know, cordon off a portion of the show and call it bonus content. I mean, technically, you could find it. So, again, much thanks. All thanks go to the Patreon supporters. And also, if you want in on the contests that I do, just become a supporter on there. And you'll also get a free copy of my book, The Dark Path, which also, by the way, I've got more paperbacks in stock. You can buy a signed paperback from me to you. I have a Gumroad store. The store is called Isaac W. Where you can find it, or you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a shop tab where you can navigate through to find the links. But I've got signed copies. I'm shipping one out today. So that could be you. Let's see. So Jay, we have great conversation. Obviously, you're going to listen to it, so I don't want to get into it, but we talk a lot about MKUltra, dolphin sex, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicolas Cage. It's all here. So enjoy, and I will holler at you on the flip side.
All right. We should be going live. Can everybody on the Jay's Analysis stream hear me? Give me a nod and a bump and a thumbs up if you can hear me out there. We're just now... starting up analysis. And we have with us Isaac, Illuminati Watcher. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. I'm excited to talk to you. I think the last time we talked was back, we were talking about the Super Bowl maybe about a year and a half ago something. Like that.
It was. It was Beyonce doing like her Black Panther, race stuff. And ever since then, we've seen a hyping up of the racial tension, I think, by design, by the system.
Yeah, very very prophetic. That whole symbolism of the Black Panthers is something I wanted to get into with you a little bit. But I did want to catch up with you a little bit. I subscribed to the Gaia channel on my Xfinity. I've seen a couple of your episodes with Mr. Jay Widener. Very cool stuff. I saw you on a show with George Norrie. Is that right?
Yes, Jay and I did an episode of Norrie's Gaia show, Beyond Belief, and that was a promo for Hollywood Decoded, and it was totally separate. They flew me out there to meet up with Jay and to do that. And it took like 30 minutes and we were done. Flew all the way there for 30 minutes and then it was done. And it was fun. I mean, he kind of asked just basic questions about what our show was. And we did, basic promo running over the themes of the show. It turned out pretty good. But I think our show is, I think it's really high quality. Do you mind me asking which episodes you saw?
Oh, man. It was like the first couple, you know what I mean? I don't remember. This is a while ago when it first came out.
Well, the first couple was like The Matrix, and then they released them, I think, once a week. So all 20 episodes are up now. So
right on.
Yeah, they're all there. Everybody can binge watch them if they want to. But thanks. Yeah, a lot has happened on my end since that. Actually, people are still asking me about Hollywood Decoded, but on my end, like Hollywood Decoded's already kind of come and gone. Like I'm already moving on to like different projects now because I'm not. I don't think we're going to have a season 2 of Hollywood Decoded. So
really,
if people want, they can email Gaia and leave comments and say, please ask for another one. I don't know if that'll change their mind. It might. But we've already got some other projects in the mix and maybe something television wise, with a different network. So,
all right on. You got any more details on that or is that all top secret?
I can't, it's confidential. So right you on. Have to sign agreements that, I don't think I can say anything more than that.
Oh, good. Is that Gaia channel, they've got all kinds of like, they've got a wide breadth of, subjects from like, what seems to be sort of pro occult stuff and pro new age stuff. And then they've kind of got like the David Wilcox, alien blue avian channeling stuff. So they got a ton on there. So, if anyone's listening that's on the fence about it, it's definitely worth a shot, if nothing else to watch your show.
Yeah, thank you. I do definitely think our show is one of the more cerebral. In fact, I think that one of the criticisms was that it may not be a good fit for Gaia because we strove to do something a little more on the intellectual side. I mean, yes, there is esoteric stuff. Many of the episodes that we did do cover esoteric topics in movies, Eyes Wide Shut, all that stuff is there. But they also, I can't believe they kept the Twin Peaks episode, which is full of esoteric occult stuff, but they cut the Rosemary's Baby episode. So we went into some pretty deep dark esoteric stuff with Rosemary's Baby and they cut it. So,
oh wow, maybe it was what's homeboy's name, Polanski.
Roman Polanski, yeah.
Maybe you guys were saying too much about Polanski. I don't know.
I think they decided that the content of Rosemary's Baby was too much for the Gaia audience, but then they didn't cut the Chinatown episode, which I thought they would cut, which is also Roman Polanski and is pretty dark themes. So I don't know, man. That's the problem that you run into with people, like you said, like the Gaia content people and marketing people are very new age. And so, new agers view things like, don't ever talk negative. Don't ever say anything negative. There's nothing dark. And so anytime that there were dark episodes, they were like, I don't know if we can do this one. And I was like, well, nobody told me what the content could or couldn't be before I, came up with these episodes. So, was I just supposed to magically know what Gaia's content was? I mean, there was just no way for me to know that. And, they've already paid for however 20 plus episodes. So, I don't know. It was a weird fit for me to do my stuff. And the only reason it happened is because Jay Widener had pull at Gaia. But otherwise, outside of that, I don't think they would have ever done it. They didn't really want to do it to begin with, I don't think.
Do you know anything, I don't want to talk about someone else necessarily, but like, do you know if, Jay was a while ago, he was talking about making a Kubrick's Odyssey. I think 3 would be the one that he's on now. And, I never saw it came out. Did that come up in your guys' conversations at all?
It did. I mean, not on the show, but, Jay said to me that at first he was thinking of doing another documentary and then he was like, no, I'm just going to do little vignettes on YouTube. And then he said he changed his mind again and he thinks he wants to do part 3. So he seems to keep he's kind of on the fence. So I don't, fair we enough. Haven't spoken. We haven't spoken since I was up there for the George Norrie show. So I have no idea what, what he wants to do nowadays.
Okay. Yeah. I try to reach out and get a hold of him to get that information from him, but I don't know, every once in a great while he'll respond back, but I haven't got anything. And those, cause those Kubrick's Odyssey, videos are pretty good too. But, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So you're working on a new project following up from your first book. What can you tell the audience about, what's in store for that?
Yeah, I can go into a little more detail with that because I'm right in the middle of finishing up the second book, and I think it's going to be a better written book. I know that my freshman outing was a little weak in terms of the prose and the writing. It was still a good book. I'm still happy with it. But what I want to do is get a little more hardcore, and basically in the book I'm going to take the reader on a journey from kind of normie stuff into like mobs in Hollywood and the history of sex trafficking and this kind of stuff, and then move to a little bit more outer circle, outer ring crazy, where we get into mind control in film. So there's going to be a very large, probably 100-150 page section on Hollywood treatments of MK Ultra. And so this is going to be a whole bunch of movies. It's going to include, you know, Roman Polanski stuff, cult stuff. It's going to be all the ones that you would probably think of that would be in a mind control Hollywood movie analysis, you know, the conspiracy theory, Mel Gibson. It's going to be Jacob's Ladder. It's going to be TV shows like Alias that deal with mind control. It's going to be all of that that you would expect. And then it's going to move into a little weirder topic of weather control and the few scant treatments that Hollywood has done of geoengineering and weather control in different films over the years. And then it's going to move into Hollywood transhumanism. So there was a little bit of that in the first book, but not specifically. In this one, I'm going to treat it pretty extensively. There's going to be a lot of new material, movies like Metropolis, which I've not written on. There will be a whole new essay on Metropolis, a whole chapter on that. There will be new chapters on The Matrix Part 2 and 3, which I haven't written on yet. So there's going to be a lot of new material. A lot of material that is already in essay form will be rewritten and redone, just like Esoteric Hollywood 1 was. So that's where we're going. We're going to go from mobs and spies and cults and even terror, Hollywood terror. And we're going to move outward to mind control, and then we're going to move to weather control, and then to transhumanism.
No, that's great. And you're gonna stick with a similar format of, you know, having a film and kind of dissecting each film and discussing the contents of it as it relates to these different ideas.
In some parts of the book, yes, but actually, just because there's so much to do with mind control, it's difficult to have a chapter per book. Mm-hmm. So a chapter per movie. I think the mind control section will have to be a bunch of smaller vignettes, smaller sections, just because there's so many of those. But I really want to treat it as broadly as I can. So this book will actually probably be, if Chris wants to keep it down to under 400 pages, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, it's already pushing like 400 to 500 pages. So he may have to smush the text together and cut out some pictures or something, because it's getting pretty hefty.
Yeah, I know what you're. I know what you're saying with, like, you know, my first book. I look back at it and I kind of cringe because you learn so much just transitioning from the, you know, to second, third book. you know, you talked about the MK Ultra stuff. Have you seen that show on Netflix called Wormwood?
Yes, actually, it's based on one of the Trinde books. Chris was just saying the other day, I believe, that he said this is a Trinde. I forget who the author is. I'm not sure which Trinde book it is, because they actually have a whole bunch of books.
Yeah,
that's Trinde is the publisher of my book. So I'm not exactly sure who the author is. I don't want to be unfair and not give somebody credit, but Chris did say that it was it.
Okay.
A Trinde book. And I watched, I think, the first two episodes of Wormwood. And honestly, the only reason I didn't keep with it was because I thought it was a TV show. So I wasn't expecting a documentary. It wasn't bad. It's just that, you know, I was in the mood for a show at the time. So I think I watched the first couple episodes. But yeah, I'm intimately familiar with the Walter Boert, Frank Olson story of all that.
And that's what that's what, for those who aren't familiar, it's about that Frank Olson, who was part of the MK Ultra experiments, and they, you know, subject him to the LSD, and eventually he perhaps jumps out the window or gets pushed out the window, and you know, they kind of go back and forth on the ideas behind it. And it kind of drags by the, you know, I think there was maybe 7 episodes, and by like the 5th episode, I was kind of bored with it. Cause I was like, yeah, I got it, dude. Let's move on. Cause they kind of keep, you know, sort of regurgitating the same information kind of, I don't know. So, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't bad.
Okay. Yeah. So would you recommend the whole thing?
No, probably not. Because like, you know, I'm interested in MK Ultra, and I barely made it through. I wouldn't say it was bad. I don't know how to produce a TV show. I just know that, watching it, I kind of lost my interest towards the end, because it seemed to kind of not progress the story along enough for me. But, you know, I'm kind of impatient anyway, so.
So you're saying basically it's just mediocre?
Yeah.
Does it present the conspiracy case adequately or not?
It does, actually, because I was surprised at how, there was something, man, I don't remember, because I watched it when it first came out. My memory sucks. There was an aspect of the story of MKUltra, and I remember thinking, oh, they're not going to show it, but then they did. Nope, sorry, I'm confused. I'm thinking of, what is it called, Manhunter, that show about the Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
Okay,
yeah. I'm thinking about that one. Sorry,
I watched Mindhunt.
Mindhunt, the other one. That's it.
Which is the FBI, the creation of the FBI serial killer profile unit. That takes place in like 1980. I watched season one of that. I thought that was good, and yeah. It actually did deal with the ritual murders a little bit. I think the cases are basically fictional, but it kind of tries to intertwine with, you know, right after the Manson's in jail, and they're talking about, you know, interviewing Manson, and they're talking about ritual crimes and stuff like that. So it was a decent Netflix show. I would watch season two of it. But I didn't watch the Unabomber one yet. Although I did watch a recent documentary on the Unabomber, which tied into MKUltra, because you probably know this, but Kaczynski actually did volunteer to undergo MKUltra experimentations when he was in college, and that's actually in his LA Times obituary. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know it was in the obituary. My voice is all jacked up. I was sick for a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's that time of year. That Mindhunter, I think it was called Mindhunter show that was on Netflix. It was a whole thing about catching Kaczynski, and I remember thinking, oh, they're not going to go into the MK Ultra thing, and sure as hell they did. You know, maybe 3rd, 4th episode or whatever, they actually went into him getting the treatment that he did at the, you know, Harvard or wherever it was.
Right. This is interesting because this will tie in well to our topic. So he was during that time period when you had Cultural Revolution. And if you watch the documentary, The Net, The Unabomber, and MKUltra, I think is the title of it. I put it on Jay's analysis. But that documentary actually had a lot of new information that I didn't know about connecting the internet to MKUltra. Now, I did know about the idea of like super soldiers and DARPA and implantable microchips. Actually, that is an outgrowth of MKUltra. A lot of people may not know that unless they have listened to Jay's analysis. But if you read the last chapter of John Marks's book, The CIA and the Search for the Manchurian Candidate, his last chapter, which that book was written in the 70s, he ties in the implantable microchips and DARPA and all that directly into an outworking of the later stages of MKUltra. So for those that don't know, MKUltra was actually just one program amidst dozens of programs with different names and different titles, like MK Search and MK Naomi and these different ideas like this. And each one has a different focus. So MKUltra had to do specifically with truth drugs, truth serums, and mind control. And there are Naomi and Monarch, these different programs did have to do with researching the psyche. They were called psychonauts. And so one of the guys that not a lot of people talk about that I've been talking about recently, and there will be a section in my new book, is John C. Lilly. And that's because I got a hold of John C. Lilly's book. Now, he's known for Day of the Dolphin flipper type stuff, like where they were experimenting with giving dolphins LSD. And we probably have heard a little bit about this with Dr. Jolyon West giving LSD to elephants and Jose Delgado giving LSD to monkeys and bulls and making the bulls kind of, you know, he claimed he could control them with microchips and stuff like this. Well, John C. Lilly is the dolphin guy, known for all his weird and almost quasi-sexual interfaces with dolphins. I kid you not. This is even mainstream news in The Guardian that he was like making out and rubbing up on dolphins and had some kind of weird fixation with dolphins. And The Guardian lies and says, oh, this is under NASA. No, it's not under NASA. It's totally MKUltra. It's totally CIA. They're not calling it CIA. But when you get his book, he talks about wiping kids' minds. I couldn't believe it. Actually says it in his book, Programming and Metaprogramming in the Human Biocomputer. He says, not only can you wipe kids' minds and that he did it with his own experiments, but he even says you can, like, you know, all the stuff that we're familiar with like broken glass and using clocks and putting these images in front of people when they're in the LSD state. He says that all that stuff is real and it all works.
No kidding.
So a lot of the conspiracy claim stuff that you think, oh, you know, this is in a lot of movies, it's in a lot of music videos, but is there a real documentation for it? Well, apparently, you know, Dr. John C. Lilly in his book, yes, he claims that he was, you know, frying kids' brains and then showing them a mirror and then breaking the mirror, and that this would fracture their psyche.
That's interesting, because the you know, those symbols and ideas, I've read some of those things, you know, from a variety of sources, like Fritz Springmeier or Kathy O'Brien. Yep. So it's interesting that you found a connection to someone who's, you know, maybe a bit more credentialed in that field.
Yes, we finally have an actual MKUltra doctor, and I'll have to give Fritz credit, because it's actually Fritz that referenced this book, and I didn't believe it. I was skeptical. I thought, okay, yeah, this is Fritz Springmeier. I'm sure that John C. Lilly really says this. Well, I bought the book on Amazon, and the book is absolutely unreadable. I mean, you cannot finish this book. Not because it's hard; it's just the most garbled. You have no idea what he's talking about, but you can make out these sections where he says that he strapped the kids down and he gave them LSD and he could reprint. They call it re-imprinting, where they basically rewrite what your thought process is. And he says, oh, the human mind is just another version of a computer. It's a biological computer, and I can re-imprint it through the process. Basically, he mastered the torture process is all it is. It's just like Alfred Kinsey. They name it science, right? Oh, it's just science. Yeah, we may be molesting and touching kids, but it's just science. It's just science, right? Oh, we may be strapping kids down and wiping their mind with a bunch of LSD and putting them in a sensory deprivation tank or a pod and making them watch, you know, violent movies or, you know, Disney movies or something. But yes, that's exactly what John C. Lilly says in the book. And here he's a famous, quote, scientist, famous MKUltra doctor, and he literally says it all in the book.
And do you discuss this in your new book, Esoteric Hollywood 2, you know, whenever that comes out? Is that right?
Correct. There will be a chapter on that stuff. I've actually put out a sample chapter of part two where I discuss John C. Lilly and his crap.
Awesome. Yeah, that's because that'll save me from having to read through the garbled mess of his book. You know, speaking of the dolphins, I have a slightly pertinent story. There's a guy I know that one time worked at SeaWorld in San Diego, and he said that on a regular routine basis, they would have to kick people out of the dolphin tank area because they would get off on the dolphins and they would stand by the glass and, you know, pull their junk out and start doing their thing, and the dolphins would come over and the dolphins would get like big raging hard-ons. And it was like this whole fetish, and these people had like, would have like season passes, and they would keep coming back and they would keep sneaking in. And, he said it was this whole thing every day where they would have people that were like, had this dolphin fetish. So I'm curious if maybe Lily was part of that.
Well, this is just like this new movie that's out. What is it called? Love of Water.
Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. And what is it? Like the woman has some kind of fetish relationship with some merman or some shit like that.
Right.
And they're actually making sea dildos. Oh, he's a god. Okay, so he's like a sea god. That's like Neptune or something. And they're making like Neptune pronged dildos for women now based on their stupid stuff. I'm not joking, but so the Guardian article related to exactly what you're talking about, it says in the 1960s, Margaret Lovat was part of the CIA funded project to communicate with dolphins. She was living with Peter the dolphin 24 hours a day in a converted house. So she converted this house into like a pool so that she could swim around and live with this dolphin. And when you read the guy who pioneered it, it was Gregory Bateson, one of the top CIA guys, along with John C. Lilly. So they spearheaded the CIA project with American neuroscientist John C. Lilly. And they put out a book, The Sounding of the Whale. And they're like, oh, whales are just lesser evolved people, and there's nothing weird about developing a sexual relationship with our ancient sea brethren because we all come from the sea. And so I'm not joking. In this mainstream article, they actually say that it began, they include Hustler Magazine's report on this from the 70s, and Hustler Magazine wrote an article about this woman and John C. Lilly and the dolphin, and it shows the woman having sex with the dolphin.
Good God. Yeah, see, that's I'm kind of more of a, I don't know, I hate to say this because it's such a loaded term, but I'm more of a socially liberal kind of guy, and I'm okay with certain, like, you know, sexual fetishes if that's what people are into, but like, that's kind of where I draw the line, is making it okay to have sex with the animals. These dolphins, they want it, apparently. From what my guy that worked at SeaWorld tells me, is that these dolphins would be super into it. You know, not that that makes it okay, but, you know.
Well, right. I think that, you know, you talk a lot about, kind of demonic, and maybe I've seen you discuss stuff like fallen angels at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what's interesting is that it kind of goes along with the idea of turning man into something bestial. And this has actually come up recently with me debating with different atheists, is that to me, it seems like if we're just beasts anyway, then it doesn't matter. Like, on what basis do you have a problem with bestiality or pedophilia, by the way, if we're all just animals anyway? Right. So, I mean, I don't see, you may not like it. I'm not saying you, Isaac. I'm just saying people in general. I'm saying like you may not like it, or you may personally find it gross. But if man is just another beast, then there's nothing morally wrong with any of it.
That's a very good argument. That's very true. And you know, to stay on that idea of entertainment and Hollywood influencing and, you know, creating culture, the alien movies spawned this fetish of the alien ovipositors, where it's these alien eggs that people can insert this device into whatever orifice and then inject eggs into themselves, because it's like a sexual fetish thing that H.R. Giger depicted in the alien film Served Up. So
That's a good point. I forgot that Giger's art has the alien proboscis and phallus, basically injected into all of the slave creatures in his artwork. That's right. Because actually, when I was a degenerate 16-year-old, I was a big fan of H.R. Giger art, and I would have Giger posters, and I loved the alien movies. I still like the alien movies. Sure. But yes, that's a great point. I had forgotten that actually most of the art has that kind of sexual theme to it, where there is this kind of alien impregnation. And he even did a piece dedicated to Crowley, so it actually makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he was into all that sort of dark art stuff, and I don't recall the specifics of it, but I remember he would get into sort of, you know, not channeling per se, but he would sort of like get into a headspace of making contact with some kind of dark energy when he was, you know, finding motivation for his art. But to go back, you made mention of super soldiers, and the only other time I've heard that term, you know, besides like, I guess like Manchurian Candidate, of course, but like, Max Spears, you know, the ufologist guy that died in the news about a year and a half ago, he was supposed to be a super soldier. So, and I've talked to Max before, and I mean, he seemed very believable when I would talk to him, but like the rational side of me is like, come on, man, really? And, so did you find any kind of traction to that? Besides, you know, guys like Max trying to tell the world that they were part of that program?
Well, I can't speak. I mean, I remember that guy, and I remember him having that strange death. And I would also be skeptical of any person that claims to be a super soldier unless they can somehow demonstrate it. So I don't know about anybody's individual claims, but, you know, it's pretty mainstream news and easy to verify that DARPA has, since the 70s, worked on these kinds of programs. So, well, technically, I guess DARPA is a little bit later as a publicly known entity, but the same entities that DARPA would be, that the DARPA would come from, like ARPANET, which is the internet. DARPA is basically the internet. It's the same research facilities like Stanford Research and these different, you know, MIT and these different universities that they're at the same time internet and DARPA as they are MKUltra. So all of these programs, it's important to see, are not disconnected. And the more you research, you start to realize, oh, the same generals involved in that program are actually involved in this other program. They're also involved in the First Earth Battalion, and they're all, you know, the men who stare at goats type stuff. That is at the same time the internet as it is MKUltra. They're all connected 100%. There's no question about it. And I think that's probably been the most surprising aspect of my research into this in the last few years, is that these are different programs. The same programs that are involved in geoengineering are absolutely connected to MKUltra. They're all part of the, under the same aegis of the Department of Defense and the Department of Energy, basically re-engineering the entire biosphere. That's all true. And one aspect of that, or what they call mastering the human domain, is the idea of transhumanism and super soldiers. So when you hear about transhumanism, as I said, John Marx's last chapter in his famous book directly ties this to MKUltra, because what they were doing was, okay, and you can see the connection because you start realizing, oh, so if MKUltra is about altering the human computer, right, human biometrics and this kind of stuff, you could see how they would say, well, let's see what happens if we modify the body, right? Body mods, and we start putting implants and chips into people. And what happens if we put the chip in the brain, and what can we cause the person to do? Well, all of which they were doing decades ago. And then it becomes, okay, well, what if we alter man himself? What if we start using nanotech to go inside the human body and switch around his DNA, RNA, you know, to change people's chemistry up? And then, oh, what happens if we start giving him this, you know, nootropic? What happens if we put this kind of a thing inside the body? And so, in other words, you can see how it easily moves from just chemical studies and DNA studies into adding the tech. And this is where you get the idea of the super soldier. And again, there are mainstream studies. They were testing out super soldier stuff in Iraq War Part One. They were giving people chemicals. They were putting the chips into soldiers back then. So absolutely, the super soldier program is real. Now, how advanced is it? That I couldn't tell you, because obviously, you know, they're not going to reveal that kind of stuff on a public level. But absolutely, yes, the super soldier stuff is real. But can I verify some random dude's claims? No.
Right, right.
I remember there was that one, I'm Jesse Ventura. Today we're gonna investigate super soldiers.
That was worth the sacrifice. That was a good one. Yeah.
And so Jesse, he starts him. Excuse me. Hold on a second.
Jesse's trying to. It was a sacrifice made for the whole. It was a great, great voice. I love it.
Jesse's joking me with his astral body. Maybe I should do an astral ghost version of Jesse Ventura. Anyway, I've been sick, and so that's my punishment for trying to do a Jesse. But he did a show on his True TV show, and it was hilarious because the guy was obviously full shit. It was like, he's like, well, what can you do to prove it? The guy's like, well, when I was younger, I could run really fast, and I could jump really high. And then Jesse's like, I guess the verdict's still out.
Illuminati confirmed, man. Yeah, I watched that. I watched that whole season. He's got a new show too. On, in fact, when I watched, I guess now would be a good time to talk about it. You were on a I don't know if you call it a show, documentary, video called Hollywood DC, narrated by Sean Stone, featuring yourself, Oliver Stone, a couple other big names. And that was actually where I saw the commercial for Jesse's got a new show out there. I don't think it's conspiracy related per se, but you know, I like Jesse well enough.
Yeah, I saw the same ad in the midst of the documentary. And I actually thought it was going to be like Jesse Ventura riding around America on a motorcycle and, you know, starting shit and talking crazy stuff. And it's not. It's just him sitting at a desk, you know, commenting on politics, which is fine. But I think, you know, like Jesse riding around and acting foolish and goofy on his motorcycle would have been a more interesting show than just him sitting there talking. But
yeah, but I did see
that. But yeah, man, thank you. I appreciate it. When Sean Stone messaged me to do that, I didn't actually know what it was. And I would have been a little more nervous if I knew that it was a thing where I was going to be, you know, talking right next to Oliver Stone and that we would be commenting on a lot of pretty in-depth Hollywood stuff. So I guess it's better that he didn't tell me exactly what it was.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then somebody messaged me. They're like, hey, that thing that you did with Sean Stone is out in Oliver Stone's. And I was like, well, what is it? And yeah, it turned out to be a hour long kind of documentary that he released on his RT show, Watching the Hawks. And it was, you know, half and half. And when he released the first half, I was kind of pissed because like, well, they didn't even have me on there. So like, did they just cut? I was afraid they cut all the parts. And then part two came out pretty good. I think they kept basically 90% of what I talked about. So yeah, I was really impressed with that. I think Sean did a great job with it. He hit all the high points. You know, he hit the major conspiracy stuff. We hit even, you know, MK Ultra and Hollywood, which most people don't touch on that. They don't get into, I mean, you and I will, but you know, somebody like the level of Oliver Stone, he's not usually involved in a project talking about MK Ultra in Hollywood. So I was really kind of blown away by all that.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm not a huge fan, but I'm a fan of Oliver Stone. Obviously his movies are great. And he seems to not be too bashful about pushing the envelope. And in fact, he was interviewing Vladimir Putin on an HBO show not that long ago, 6 months ago maybe. And then he's got that show on Netflix, Untold History of the USA, which is freaking awesome. When you watch that show, that whole series, it becomes pretty clear that Oliver Stone is perhaps more on the side of the conspiracy community than Hollywood, or, you know, at least that's my take on it.
I would think so. I mean, he's always had a penchant for conspiracy. I mean, that's kind of what JFK is. You know, JFK kicks off the mainstreaming of the conspiracy aspect of the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
But then, you know, but then when it came time for like World Trade Center, his World Trade Center movie is not conspiratorial.
Oh, that's true. I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he kind of dips back into the conspiracy realm with the Snowden movie, which I actually haven't seen the Snowden movie yet, so I can't really comment on it. But you know, I do generally like Oliver Stone stuff. What did I see recently that reminded me of you know, some of his older movies are some of my favorites, like El Salvador is good with James Woods. Platoon. I'm a fan even of, yeah, definitely of Platoon and those classic ones. Heaven and Hell is pretty good. And then you've got There was one I'd forgotten about that I recently saw, and I was like, that was pretty conspiratorial for what it was. I forgot about it. But anyway, but yeah, it was exciting. I didn't know it was going to be an Oliver Stone thing. So
yeah. So did that, I watched it on, cause you have the YouTube links embedded on your website, jaysanalysis.com. But was that airing on the RT network on like regular television? Do you know?
Yeah, it actually ran all day.
Wow.
RT ran it all day.
Awesome. Now, I don't want to go backwards too far, but you made mention to when you were talking about transhumanism tying to MK Ultra and how, MK Ultra is all about the studies of altering the mind, which is the human computer. And, the University of Stanford, I talked about this on my most recent episode of my podcast here. They have what's called the Persuasive Technology Lab, where they study the effects of social media, and they explore some of these ideas of outrage, and that's how they fuel social media and keep people glued into Facebook and Twitter and all that, is why by pushing certain outrageous ideas or divisiveness perhaps. So it's interesting because Stanford, that was that associated with the MK Ultra projects from the 60s?
Absolutely. Yes. Stanford is connected both to the creation of the internet. It was one of the first sites where they were sending the packets of information to like MIT and different places when they were first in the 60s figuring out how to run the internet. And it was also where they were pioneering a lot of those very bizarre fringe aspects of MK Ultra, like if you've seen, I'm sure, Men Who Stare at Goats, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. So the First Earth Battalion and the psychic spies, psi spies, and all that. The character of Colonel, I forget his name, but it's the George Clooney character is playing the, one of the main generals involved in that, and the idea that they could create these psychonauts, and they were all just tripping a bunch of acid and. I'm still struggling from my Jesse impersonation.
Jesse's power is strong, man. Don't dismiss it.
Dude, what if Jesse is one of the psi spies of the First Earth Battalion? He's actually using his, his Navy SEAL Jedi powers to destroy my
Yeah, that seems very plausible.
It's as plausible as any of the other super soldier bullshit. But.
Yeah, the... Anyway.
So Stanford research is one of the pillars of both the internet and MK Ultra, and remember the Uri Geller Stargate stuff? That's all true.
I'm familiar with Uri Geller. Give me more on that. I'm not really sure what that is.
Well, part of the Psi-Spy tests that the First Earth Battalion and the Men Who Stare at Goats stuff came from was these experiments in the 70s at Stanford Research, and you can actually find YouTube clips where they were doing this, where they were studying people like Uri Geller who claimed to have these abilities or whatever. But this is where the one white paper that they produced that supposedly is a vindication for remote viewing.
So basically,
the one thing where Stanford Research says, oh, hey, we actually did figure out how to do remote viewing. So the paper claims. So they claim.
Yeah. I was just talking about the remote viewing because there was my buddy sent me a released CIA document where they were remote viewing back in 1984, they were doing this. They had a subject remote view to Mars from 1 million years ago. And this guy goes around and he sees pyramids and obelisks. And then, he says, basically they've had some environmental problems, some kind of climate change. So then he goes back in time a little bit further and he starts talking to these aliens. And, that's pretty much where the paper wraps up.
Well, this is more like they were doing studies to, where a group of people go out in the town and they actually set up something noticeable, Neptune's fork or something, and they put it in the middle of the town, and unbeknownst supposedly to the person who can do the quote remote viewing, they're looking around the town through their astral mind or whatever, and then they see you know, Neptune's fork or whatever it happens to be. So the white paper that I read from Stanford Research, which is, you know, from like the 70s, you know, it just, the only thing that they claimed of all of their psychic spy studies that worked was remote viewing.
What about, you saw Jennifer Lawrence's new movie, Red Sparrow. Does that have any kind of, I haven't seen it yet. Does that have some kind of MK Ultra link to it?
It does. It does. Oh. Actually, there are YouTube documentaries that you can find that actually cover Stalin's NKVD sex school. And it's actually the same techniques and practices that you would find in the West, you know, to degrade people and to put them through the, I mean, when a person is trained for in what's called tradecraft, to do spy work, they do in many ways go through a kind of mind control. So, you know, we all are familiar with this. If you've seen Clockwork Orange or if you've seen Full Metal Jacket, you know that the way that Full Metal Jacket goes is that they break you down in boot camp and then they send you, you know, over to do the killing because now you're a killing machine. And when it comes to spies or this kind of stuff, you know, you do go through a similar process and it gets even more specified. So it's not just like boot camp. It's like extreme extended boot camp that's beyond just physical pushing of the limits. You actually have to push the morals and taboos of the person to where they're degraded, to where they no longer have any moral hangups. And so what I've studied and researched in regard to Stalin's NKVD, it did seem to roughly match up to the movie Red Sparrow because she gets sent to what they call state school number 4 and she's there and they're like basically putting her through all of this sex kitten stuff. So quite literally what you would expect in the conspiracy realm about learning to become a sex kitten, sex operative, they quite literally do that with her in the movie. Absolutely.
Which is interesting. Now,
my problem though is that the movie presents it like, oh, this is only a thing that evil Russians do. No. You think this doesn't go on in Hollywood? You think this doesn't go on in the CIA? The CIA, the movie makes it out like the CIA saves her from Russian torture. The CIA has like 50 black site bases around the world where they torture people.
Right.
It's preposterous.
And then there was a Zero Dark 30 that glorified the use of waterboarding by the CIA and stuff.
Great point.
Yeah, it's funny how they for sure use Hollywood and entertainment as propaganda tools. And I think it's funny that so many people don't really see that. But, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, I don't know if you recall, like maybe 3 years ago, there was the, what do they call it, Celebgate or the Fappening, where, you know, someone quote unquote hacked into all these actresses' iCloud accounts and released all these photos. And she was one of the victims of this. And she had these images of herself doing, like, you know, sexual things or whatever. You know, she had this sort of glossed over look in her eye. Because I may have seen the photos. And, you know, she had this kind of glossed over look in her eye, like maybe she was MK altered for the photo almost. So it's interesting that now she's in this film that sort of cuts very close to that sort of idea.
That's a great, great point. In fact, I am skeptical of those. Anytime I hear of a celebrity leak of something like that, I'm like, yeah, right. I think a lot of those are released on purpose just to create media blitz, buzz, and attention. Now, I mean, yes, it could be that somebody hacked into their iCloud or whatever, but it just happens to, you know, boost their careers. It doesn't damage them in any way. You know, their careers continue on, and they hypocritically bitch about Hollywood using them and how they're oppressed because they're women and how they're sexualized. And yet that she makes this movie where in Red Sparrow, they basically film all of her. It's basically exactly what you're talking about. So she's going to bitch about what happens in her images getting leaked, and then in the movie she's going to basically do the same thing.
Yeah, and then the you know, talking on that subject, like Kim Kardashian, or I don't remember if it was Kim Kardashian or Paris Hilton, one of the two, when their sex tape got supposedly leaked. You know, I could see right through that. Or what's the other chick? Farrah Abraham. You know, they all play the victim, but and I'm sure sometimes that is the case. But it does nothing but propel them upwards. Like, look at Kim Kardashian. She was a nobody until she released that sex tape with Ray J.
Right. And yeah, no, that's a great point. So what I think is that you're right to make a connection to kind of what's happening in the movie, that it's almost like the events that are happening in the movies parallel the real life levels of degradation that they go through, kind of like a ritual initiation. I mean, you know, when people are initiated into secret societies, think about, everybody knows kind of what goes on at Skull and Bones, at least publicly. You lay in the coffin, you're supposed to masturbate, and you tell your secrets, and then you get in a giant mud pit and wrestle other dudes while the guys piss on you from above. You know, if you saw The Good Shepherd, that presentation is what happens in Skull and Bones, supposedly. So, in other words, you're being put through a degradation, just like boot camp. Right. To remove your moral hangups. That's exactly what happens to Jennifer Lawrence. And when she goes to sex spy school, it's basically just porno school. She's learning all of this porn and all this, everything gets taped. And then to humiliate them in the spy school in the movie, all of the other students in spy school watch your porno tape and everybody dissects it and tries to figure out what's a better way, you know, to seduce the other person and get the information.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so the reality is mirroring the fiction, and you're absolutely right to make that connection between what's in the movie and her supposed leaks.
Now, yeah,
because I think it's like a secret society initiation on the public level.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I just watched a documentary called Tickled, and it's about these young guys. They get paid tons of money, like $1,000, $2,000 to go film themselves, where they go to this arranged like hotel room and someone ties them up, and then someone else, another like young guy, starts tickling them. It's like, they call it like competitive tickling.
What?
Yeah, it's insane. It was an HBO documentary released in 2016, and the whole deal was, there was a journalist who was into, like, you know, making documentaries about weird things like that, sort of like subgenre of, you know, people that are into this stuff. And he started researching it, and he found out that no one could tell him who was the person who was providing all the funding for this whole operation. And then even worse yet, you find out that all of these people are used, and they're not really told the truth. Like this one, you know, the one guy, he went and he took the $1,000 or whatever it was, and he was on this video of getting, and it looks very homoerotic, and they claim it's not, but and he told the company, said, hey, your video leaked on the internet, I want you to retract it. And they basically, you know, harassed this guy, and, you know, long story short, turns out it's like this one guy who's got this insane amount of money, and for whatever reason, he gets off on sort of blackmailing or degrading these young males, and having this video to hold up above their head that they say, look, I'm going to release this video to your priest and all these people at your job, and they're going to think you're into all this weird stuff. And you know, it's happened. Like, there was a couple of victims they interviewed that this exact thing happened to them.
Wow. No, that was, I've not heard of this, but it sounds like another manifestation of the depravity of the elite kind of trickling down to, you know, the regular normie class.
Yeah.
Is that basically, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, that was kind of what was going on with the Harvey Weinstein stuff, was that people were saying that it wasn't just that he wanted to have, you know, rough sex and he wanted whores or something like that, but he actually enjoyed the process of degrading the women. Now, I'm not saying that those women, I think that it's evil on both sides, actually. I think those women are hypocrites, because you can't be that dumb as to tell me that you don't know what goes on in Hollywood when you go to Hollywood to try to, you know, get into these movies. You know, and I'm pretty sure Jennifer Lawrence has been in Harvey Weinstein movies. So, you know what I mean? At the same time, though, that is, I mean, Harvey Weinstein is a good guy. I think that you're talking about evil dudes and whores. They're all whores.
Yeah, the whole Hollywood elite there, you know, they talk about the Faustian bargain, and, you know, I don't know if this is all that different, because I do think like Weinstein and like Louis C.K., and I love Louis C.K., man. It broke my heart when he found out he was into the same weird stuff, too. Like, it's weird that, like, they were into making girls watch them jerk off. I mean, it's like the weirdest shit, but
that is weird. I don't even know why that would be.
I don't get it. But you know, but it's, yeah, you know, and I'm like, on some of those, like, I'm like, whatever, man, people got kinks, whatever, I don't care. But like, that's like another level of like, I don't understand how that becomes a thing. And all these people in Hollywood seem to do it. So it's like, what the hell's going on over there?
Yes, well, but that makes the Me Too crap such a bunch of hypocrisy. I mean, Red Sparrow didn't show a whole lot of nudity. Most of it was implied. But, I mean, she's sitting there implying, like, it's all of this, you know, porno stuff is implied, and she's participating in it. You know, I mean, she does, like, strip down naked a couple times in the movie. And it's like, how are you going to play the victim when you're the one that signed on for millions of dollars to strip down naked? I mean, it's just to me, it's totally hypocritical. I don't see how do they have any moral high ground when everybody knows that this is what goes on in Hollywood.
Yeah. Hollywood's pretty good at, you know, Hollywood and, DC, ironically, which is the name of that, documentary you were on, but Hollywood and DC, they have like these parallels of, like, you know, the politicians and the actors that are all trying to, you know, save humanity and tell us what to do and think. Meanwhile, like, they're doing shit that's way more heinous than any of us are doing. You know, it's pretty odd how that works. But, you know, most people already know that.
Well,
kind of
stuff. Well, it's like Eyes Wide Shut. Isn't it interesting that we, you know, constantly have been shown this imagery of Eyes Wide Shut, and you and I have talked about Eyes Wide Shut. We've made videos about Eyes Wide Shut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this really is what it is. It really is Eyes Wide Shut. Like, yeah. That's real.
Yeah, most definitely. It's just a matter of time before people connect the dots, if they ever do. I don't know. I feel like there's so many resources out there talking about this, but, you know, 80-90% of the population is completely just tuned out, distracted or whatever. Okay, I got one last question. I've heard at first this was going to be a joke question, but then I did hear you say something that suggested maybe there was some truth to it. Is Nicolas Cage in the Illuminati?
I don't honestly know. You know, what is interesting about Nicolas Cage is that he does have esoteric interests. Are you aware of this?
Not really. And I heard you mention something to that effect on, and I don't remember what show or what it was, but, and then the host or whoever didn't go further into it. And, then it, you know, I've heard your infamous Nicolas Cage impersonation, which is money. But I don't know the, occult connections with Cage.
Well, his family, you know, obviously he's related to the Coppolas, so he has a kind of Hollywood royalty background. I don't know if he's like from some prominent family per se, other than being related to the Coppolas. So I can't speak to his bloodline or anything.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I haven't really looked the guy up much.
Yeah, he's a very interesting character. If you look at his gravesite in New Orleans, have you seen that? It's a giant pyramid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he does. He's got that pyramid, huh, that he bought.
And that's because I've heard him say it twice in different interviews over the years that he got into reading what's called the Theologia Germanica, and he started reading Jacob Boehme. So this is like German, Prussian, Prague, Reformation period mysticism. And it's not that crazy, or it's just kind of like Neoplatonic style mysticism, basically. So, I mean, I'm not an expert on Nick Cage, but it is interesting that I've heard him mention that more than once in interviews. So he does have some interest in Hermeticism, and he does believe that, you know, the tomb that you're buried in has some kind of mystical power because he's built a giant-ass pyramid, which I don't know what he thinks is going to do. But and then I did hear him tell some drug stories where he, you know, feels like he's – his drug stories are pretty funny. He's like, I looked inside the eyes of my cat. My cat was talking to me, and the cat said, "Nick, I'm your cat." Yes. When you hear him tell the cat story, it's pretty funny. But
I have to look that up.
I looked in my cat's eyes. Have you not heard that?
No, I didn't. Up.
That's exactly what he says. And anyway, so that's all I know about Nicolas Cage esotericism.
All right, man. You're killing me. Either you're killing me or Jesse's choking me out, too.
Probably Jesse's choking you out because I haven't done my Nick Cage in a while, so it's probably kind of rusty. I'd have to, like...
No, it's great. Working out better. All right, man. Well, that's all the time I've got for now. You know, thanks for coming on the show. We'll definitely stay in touch. And, you know, as soon as you're allowed to release some information about your potential show in the future, let me know and I'll help get the word out.
Okay, can I ask you a question real quick? We got a couple super chats here. Somebody said you need to check out the show Counterpart on Stars. Have you watched this show?
You know, I had a tonsillectomy like 6 weeks ago and I couldn't stomach to watch one more hour of television, and that was like one of the last shows that I was looking through the guide and I saw it, and I remember it. I don't remember the plot. There was some kind of thing that stuck out that I thought, man, I should try to watch this. So are they saying I should watch that show? Is there Illuminati, quote unquote, themes?
This person is hinting at that, yes.
Okay. All right. So I'll write that down, Counterpart. Yeah. In fact, I think I even made mention to the show a few podcast episodes ago, but I never followed up and watched it.
Okay. Well, and this is Illuminati Watcher. I know you got to go. And if you're, we had an audience, live audience of over 200. So,
hell yeah, right on.
Good live audience today. And I've got his channel linked below. If you want to check out his work, go to his channel. The link is in the description. And so, thank you for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And real quick, tell my audience where the best place is that they can find your work. You know, and your shows and your books. I mean, you got so much shit going on. I don't even know it all. So, you know, tell them where you want them to find it.
Yeah. Just go to jasonanalysis.com and you'll see the link there for the book. You can purchase signed copies from my website. I do recommend people, please don't get it from Amazon. Amazon undercuts authors. So please get it directly from me. You can get it inside or outside the US, the different PayPal options there at the site. I also do a subscription service, half and half. If you want access to the full archives, lectures, interviews, talks, et cetera, you can subscribe at Jay's Analysis for $4.95 a month. And otherwise, just subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you enjoy Isaac's stuff, you would definitely like Jay's Analysis stuff. So I'm trying to grow the YouTube channel. And if you want to watch Hollywood Decoded, that's available at Gaia TV.
Right on, man. Cool. It was good talking to you again, man. I'll keep in touch and we'll keep cranking on this stuff, man.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Well, see ya.
Have a good day.
All right, if you want the links to catch up with Jay Dyer, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and find the show notes for this episode. I've got them all there. You can also find the links for that Patreon group that you can sign up for to get on the list that I will be giving away a book on May 1st, a signed copy from Jay to you of Esoteric Hollywood. I want to thank you for listening. Again, if you are leaving reviews on iTunes or Stitcher, I am reading them. Keep doing it. I appreciate it a ton. And the same goes for The Dark Path. Put the reviews on Amazon.com and I will read them. All right. Thanks for your time.